From our family to yours, happy holidays from the Phil Nason Show.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
From the island of Corfu and brought to you on amazing affiliates, Max Sports Channels, Talk Superstation, Armed Forces Radio, BaseballPodcast.net, First Online Radio, Cosmic Radio, and WRFN 1025. This is The Phil Nason Show. Welcome to The Phil Nason Show, the international sports show with the local sports radio flavor. I'm Phil Nason, and I'm the host of this daily sports show, and I'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen from wherever you are. It's Christmas Day. Merry Christmas, one and all. Merry, Merry Christmas to each and every one of you listening to this show. I'm really happy to have you here. We're going to be here for the full hour today, previewing all five NBA matchups. Now, when I was a young buck, they only showed two games on Christmas, sometimes only one. We get five of them on Christmas Day, and here to preview them, as well as give the team a gift from Santa Claus. Please welcome, from WelcomeToLoudCity.com, their lead writer and my friend Zeb Benbrook is in the house. Zeb, how you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. And as always, I'm excited as heck for these Christmas Day games.
Yeah, I'm going to miss all of them, actually. I might catch the Knicks game, but first up, though, Zeb, and Merry Christmas, by the way.
Merry Christmas from me as well.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, I know this is kind of strange because we're actually recording this a couple days beforehand, but it's all good. Anyhow, there is something that you sent me, and this has been the talk of the NBA world over the last, I guess, since Monday. The NBA is set to consider a wheel concept to replace the draft lottery. And apparently, to break this down in a nutshell, it's a wheel from 1 to 30. It goes like 1, 30, 19, 18, 17, or 7, 6, and 25, 23, 14, 11, 2, all the way around. Simply put, every team is guaranteed at least one top 6 pick every 5 seasons and at least one top 12 pick in every 4-year span. And that's kind of in a nutshell. Bottom line is it interesting, Zeb? Is this a good concept? Apparently it's meant to prevent tanking.
It is absolutely one of the worst ideas I've ever heard. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to discuss it on today's show, is just because it's just terrible, because you think about the scale of the NBA, and it's what advantage do the big market teams have? They have big markets. They get on TV. They get lots of money. They have rich owners. They can sign whoever they want in free agency. The hard cap means nothing to them. I mean, we've seen that time and time again. What advantage do the small market teams have? The only advantage they have is the draft lottery. That's how the Spurs built their team. That's how the Thunder built their team. They tanked. They got their picks. They paid their dues. They got their players. Their players stuck around, and they somehow were able to succeed. But when you take this draft lottery away, then you take away any advantage a small market team has. I mean, look at a team like the Milwaukee Bucks. They've done terrible for years and years, and they haven't been able to get out of the gutter, you know, playing the draft lottery. If you put them in the system where they get like the 30th pick one year, I mean, that's just, you know, while the Heat are sitting there winning the league, getting the first pick, that's just silly. I mean, how are they supposed to improve themselves? Are they supposed to go scout, you know, out in the wilderness or something, you know, trying to find the best players? It's just really bad for small market teams. And I think that this is a direct response to how badly the big market teams are doing right now. Because if you look at all the teams, New York Knicks, Brooklyn Nets, Chicago Bulls, some of which we're previewing today, Los Angeles Lakers, they're all doing bad. I mean, the best case scenario you have right now are the Los Angeles Clippers and the Houston Rockets are the two big market teams doing well. But you got historic franchises like the Bulls, the Knicks, just crashing into the ground. And that's really bad for the NBA. So this is their way of saying, hey, you know, maybe when the Knicks are having a bad year, when they're spending all these money on these players irresponsibly, we can give them a high pick and make them look good the next year. And it's good for TV ratings. But they've also got to consider the health of the small market team. And this isn't just me as a small market fan. You've got to have these teams be sustainable. You don't want to contract. You don't want to get less teams because there is talent out there for these teams to be good. And, you know, you want to have a national product. You want people to be able to go see the NBA only 3 hours away or however far away you are from a team. So I think this is a terrible concept. I hope that they never implement it. But, you know, it might be something just to keep the big markets good.
You said a lot there. You know what? What about the person who thinks, okay, you're a small market team and you don't have any money, then what are you doing owning an NBA team? What do you say to that person?
You know, that's a really good point. But I mean, I guess I'll say is that there just aren't enough rich people out there. I mean, we saw it with the Hornets when George Shin tried to sell the Hornets. The NBA had to buy that team for a couple of years before the current owner, the owner of the Saints, just kind of bought it on a whim, is the impression that I got. So it's just, you know, it is a problem. And I think that's definitely a good counterpoint, but my position is still pretty firm against this system.
Oh, I'm not saying I'm for the system. Okay. I haven't had really a good chance to sit down and actually think it through because, as you know, I've been slammed the last couple of days.
Absolutely.
But the one thing that I'll say is, for example, I don't mean to offend anyone out there, but let's use Oklahoma City as an example. They've lost good players because they couldn't afford to pay them, yet they drafted them. So now why should that team be there? For example, if they were in Seattle, there are people who say that they had rich people in Seattle. Most of the richest people in the United States live in Seattle. Surely they could have kept their team. And some people even go as far as to say, had the team stayed in Seattle, they would have won that year because they would have kept Harden. They would have kept those guys. They would have been able to pay them. The other point I would make is, why should the rich team suffer because poor people ain't got no money? You know, it's the same thing in the government. This is the whole socialism concept. And I don't think it's right. I agree with a lot of what you say, though. The point is this. I don't think this wheel is going to make it happen. And I don't think it's going to satisfy anyone. This won't even get to a vote. But it is a real interesting concept. At least they're thinking it through or thinking about it. I don't know if they think it through, but they're thinking about it. When you first sent me the link and I just read it and it said wheel, I pictured one of those wheels outside of in the casinos at Vegas. Not a roulette wheel, but the big wheel where you spin it, you could win $100 or get a deck of cards.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And the girls usually can step on it and stop it whenever she wants, or like at the county fair, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I was thinking when I first saw it. It is an interesting concept, though. And you know what? We'll have to explore this in greater detail on another time.
Absolutely.
But do you have any last thoughts to say about this?
Well, you were talking about how like players wouldn't have stuck around in the smaller team, or might have stuck around, you know, if the Thunder were in Seattle or whatever. And there's a lot of what-if scenarios that you can play. But, I mean, the bottom line is that these small market teams, you know, is that – if you look at the NFL, they're one of the leagues that has one of the best parity, they're really popular because there's very few teams that are bad for a really long time. I mean, even you saw teams like the Saints and the Lions. I mean, I don't know too much about the NFL, that were really bad for a long time, but were able to recover and actually do really well later on. So I think that that's something that the NBA could benefit from, because the NBA has a lot of teams that just don't do very well over really long periods of time. And it's looking to continue that way. I mean, what hope do the Bucks have? I mean, I'm using them as an example, but they're the best example right now. The Warriors were terrible for 20 years, you know? And I think you, in order to have a successful league, you've got to have teams that are going to come up, because otherwise you're going to have, you know, arenas like Milwaukee where you're having, you know, 6,000 fans show up every game. So I think that the NBA should look to achieve parity rather than trying to make it so that certain teams are good every year, because when certain teams are good every year, all of a sudden you get it to where you've got two teams that are in this championship every year. And that's like, you know, leagues in Europe where you've got like in smaller countries, you've got two really dominant teams, and then you've got a bunch of crap teams that nobody ever watches. And that's okay because they're small countries, but we need this league to be constantly competitive, and competitiveness leads to a stronger league, which leads to a better league. And, you know, I'm just rambling here, but those are my thoughts on the issue.
Well, that's okay because I had to cough, so it was okay. But now the thing is this. Now, what about this? You've got 30 teams in the league. 30 teams. You split them into a premier division and a second division. And the last two teams, two teams that finished last in the top division move down, and the two teams that finish at the top of the second division move up. You'll have two strong leagues this way, and it'd be a lot more competitive, and you wouldn't even have to worry about this freaking lotteries and all this other effing garbage. That's just off the top of my head. I have to think this through a little more, but it is an interesting concept. I'm glad that you brought that up to me today, and we'll have to discuss it some other time when more thoughts are out there and when we get a chance to really weigh it out, because on the surface, it looks like crap. That's just the best way I can put it, Seb. But I'll tell you what doesn't look like crap. It's Christmas. It is Christmas, Seb, and it's NBA basketball, and it all kicks off at 12 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. All of these are nationally televised games, so you Oklahoma City fans, you get to see your team on national TV, and you San Antonio Spurs fans, you get to see your team on TV, national TV. And Golden State Warrior fans, you get to see your team on TV also. It's a beautiful thing. The small markets are on national TV, and we got to love it. Anyhow, Chicago and Brooklyn. And what I thought we would do today, Zeb, is we would give a gift to each of these teams before we preview their game. So what would you give the Chicago Bulls for a Christmas present if you were Santa Claus?
Well, if I was Santa Claus, I would definitely give the Chicago Bulls an amnesty clause, just because I think that they need to reset their team. And they're not the type of team like the Pacers who look like they're going to be able to recover from the Derrick Rose injury. Because like I was talking about it earlier, I was talking about this on another show. My memory just failed me. But Chicago can't count on Derrick Rose like the Pacers couldn't count on Danny Granger when he went down. But when Danny Granger went down, the Pacers were still a viable team. And when Derrick Rose went down last year, the Bulls were still a viable team. But right now they lost a bunch of players on their bench, which I'm going to talk about later, like Marco Bellinelli and Nate Robinson, two great scorers, lost them both, didn't replace them with great scorers. Derrick Rose goes down. This team doesn't have any scorers at all. So I think that they just need to, they're not built correctly. They just need to reset. Guys like Boozer are on contracts that are just unviable at this point. If you could give them an amnesty clause, have them get rid of one of their players, start to tank, start to rebuild, that would probably be the best thing for this team, because I don't think Chicago fans want to sit through 30 years of 35 to 40 win seasons, or 3 years of 35 to 40 win seasons.
That's a nice present. I'm giving them a healthy Derrick Rose, because the NBA is better when Derrick Rose is healthy. The Bulls are better, and the East is better because the East is pathetic. So I'm giving a healthy Derrick Rose. Now for Brooklyn, what would you give Brooklyn if you were Santa Claus? Because well, I have several options here.
I narrowed my down to always one option, but this is just kind of a personal preference of mine. I would give them PJ Carlissimo back, just because he was a good coach last season. He took over in a situation where Avery Johnson had a bad record. He was rubbing people the wrong way. They fired him. There was locker room drama. You had two guys in the backcourt, and Deron Williams and Joe Johnson, who weren't very aren't necessarily team oriented, as you like to point out a lot. But he put that team together and he got them to the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference, and a game away from getting to the second round. Now, compared to the aspirations of Mikhail Prokhorov, that's not a lot. But I think that PJ Carlissimo is definitely a really solid coach, and that's just what the Nets need right now. It's a solid coach. I mean, they had Lawrence Frank just get kicked off the team. We talked about that a couple weeks ago or last week. But Jason Kidd hasn't been doing very well, and this team is just unorganized. And I think that you need they shouldn't have given that up. I mean, the Thunder could have thought, oh, Scott Brooks isn't that great. We can look for a better option in coaching free agency. But that didn't happen, and they developed Scott Brooks to the point where he was a good coach because they already knew they were winning with him. And so I don't know why Brooklyn fired PJ Carlissimo when they had a winning coach who didn't really make a whole lot of tactical errors or have any drama issues, and then bring in an entirely new coach the same year they're bringing in a bunch of new players. So that's the gift I would give them, PJ Carlissimo.
That's a nice present. I don't think it would matter who the coach is, but that's fair enough. Your points are valid. But me, I have a full bag for the Brooklyn Nets, but I'll narrow it down to one because you did. I would like to give them an identity. Because they have none. They have no identity on offense. They have no identity on defense. They have no real fan base. Their real fan base is 300 miles away or 400 miles away, and they can't come to the games. An identity. That's what they need. They want to run their mouths about being the only real team in New York. Ho, ho, ho. Even Santa doesn't want to come down their chimney. They need to either step up or shut up. And I ain't seeing them step up. And now we might as well get right into it with the preview here. And Brooklyn's in big trouble as well. Brook Lopez is out for the season. If Brooklyn was going to win and do anything, and you and I talked about this many times, Brook Lopez and Deron Williams have to get it done. Deron Williams isn't a leader. At least with Brook Lopez, you got what you paid for. He went out there and he scored. He started to play better defense.
Oh, but I got bad news for you. He just went down with a broken foot and he might be out for the season.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. He's out for good. You didn't let me finish.
Sorry.
I'm a fantasy basketball expert. We just did a show on this.
Oh, I'm not doubting you. I'm not doubting you, but with how slammed you were, I had no idea.
Oh, no, no, no. I was getting to the point is Brook Lopez is not there now, and they're in big trouble, just like Chicago's in big trouble. Without Derrick Rose, two teams in monster trouble here. Neither of them are even remotely close to 500. It's probably going to be a very interesting game to start the day out. You know, while you're smelling the ham and the turkey or whatever you're doing at your house, you can watch a bunch of hams and turkeys play basketball. Because that's all this is, man. This is not even going to be it. It's going to be interesting, but it's not going to be that entertaining, is it?
Well, you know, this is a really bad game, but I mean, when I previewed this game, I kind of thought I would go for a few positive stories because, as you're talking about, it's not going to be a really exciting game for the average NBA fan to watch. So, on Chicago's side, DJ Augustine just came off of his couch, basically, and has totally revitalized his career in Chicago. They really needed a point guard with Derrick Rose out, Kirk Heinrich out. They weren't able to find a solution. Their rookie, Marquise Daniels, I think his name is, Marquise Teague, hasn't been very good. And so they used DJ Augustine. He's been a great three-point threat. He's been able to keep his turnovers down. And so that's been a really good boon for them. And on Brooklyn's side, they found a player in Mirza Teletovic, who was a huge star for Bosnia and Herzegovina in the EuroLeague, was able to basically lead that team to almost getting to the next round when they haven't had any ball success, so you kind of knew that he was on that track. And now he's here, he's turned into one of those kind of Matt Bonner, Steve Novak big men who can shoot on the perimeter. And so I just kind of wanted to point out that through every bad team, there's always a good story to be found. And that's kind of the Christmas spirit thing. But anyway, getting down to this game for the Nets, as I said, Brook Lopez went down with a broken foot. Andre Kirilenko and Jason Terry are going to be coming off of injuries in this game. And for the Bulls, Jumpin' Jimmy Butler, Luol Deng, and Kirk Heinrich are all possible to play tonight, but nobody really knows who's going to play on that night. So it's kind of a crapshoot to predict this game because you don't know exactly who's going to play and what youngsters are going to do well. So, but my telling stat in this one is that Chicago doesn't have Nate Robinson or Marco Bellinelli anymore, and they were the second and third best scorers in beating the Nets in last year's playoff series. So the Nets had the obvious talent advantage, while Chicago's more well-coached, but I'm going to go with Brooklyn because the Bulls just don't have the offensive firepower to win a whole lot of games at this point, and Brooklyn's scoring a lot of points.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm going to take Brooklyn too. And I think Paul Pierce will be the dagger in their heart. I think Joe Johnson will step up a little bit too. It's Christmas after all. And you're right, I should be generous, but it's really difficult. I thought Chicago would be the number one seed. The reason they let Bellinelli and Nate Robinson go is because, well, one, they couldn't stand Nate Robinson. Nobody can. He doesn't stick around any team very long. And the other reason is they really didn't need him. They thought Derrick Rose would be healthy after a full year off, and then he blows out the other knee. So it is what it is. Now we've got Oklahoma City Thunder and the New York Knickerbockers. My Knicks. Oh, my own. What kind of Christmas present would you give the Oklahoma City Thunder? I already gave them one on yesterday's show, where I said I'd like to see them get more national televised games, and already this has happened. You see how good Santa Claus delivered? What would you give the Thunder, dude?
This is kind of an uncreative gift, but I just give him 2 years of seasoning. I mean, this is a team with a lot of exciting young players. Jeremy Lamb, Reggie Jackson, Steven Adams. And it's going to be a shame because I don't think you're going to be able to see these 10 guys. I mean, obviously you're not concerned about Collison or Fisher developing, but you're concerned about Jones, Adams, Lamb, and Jackson. And it would just be awesome to see how far these guys would come in a couple of years playing on the same team. But we all know that at least one of these guys is going to fall through. They're either going to get injured, or they're going to go away to another team. Just something's going to happen because teams just don't stay that stable over the course of 3 years. So I would just love to see this team get 2 years of seasoning and just be an absolute force to reckon with in the West, in the whole league, and be like a dynasty type team. But obviously, it's never going to happen. But you know, from my perspective as a Thunder fan, that's what I would love to hope for.
Great gift. You never know, man. It's Christmas. Christmas spirit could hit, and maybe Reggie Jackson will say, you know what, I'll take a lot less money to sit on the bench behind Russell Westbrook. Probably won't. You know what I mean. Okay, now, for the New York Knicks, if you had a present to give them, what would you give them?
I would give them a hard cap. I would give them a strict amount of money that they could spend because this team is just absolutely ridiculous about the way they throw around money. I mean, I know I was talking about Brooklyn, and they've been ridiculous this year. But over the past 10 years, Brooklyn, I think New York, I could be wrong on this, but they have spent 100% of what the Lakers spent over that same span. The Lakers spent about 75%, and they were the team that spent the second most money on their players, whereas the Knicks spent 100% of that. So they spent plus one third. I don't know how to say it. Either way, they spent a whole lot of money on their players. That's the point I'm trying to get at. And they make a whole bunch of irresponsible decisions. This year it was trading for Andrea Bargnani. He's been doing well a little bit lately, but he's really inconsistent. He doesn't play defense. He's not a great rebounder. And that's always going to hurt you, no matter what perspective you look at it. And so the way in which they acquired him and his contract is just mind-blowing to me, and the moves that this team just keeps making. So if you kind of set them a set amount of money that they could spend, and they actually had to be smart about what they were doing, I think this team would be a lot better in the long run. So that's the gift that I would give them, a hard cap.
That's a very nice present, Zeb, a hard cap for the Knicks. You know what, honestly, I don't think that the problem is the money that they spent or the people. They just got hurt. You know, you can't predict injuries. But I have a present for my beloved New York Knicks, too. A new destination for Carmelo Anthony and J.R. Smith. I'm fed up with looking at them. I'm so tired of those two. J.R. Smith, the other night, he decides because somebody got on him about shooting too much. So he decides he's not going to shoot at all. And then the next night, he shoots 17 threes and makes two. And winds up scoring 19 points that night. You go figure. I can't. But, and then he goes on Twitter and he writes, laugh out loud, I'm going to do it again. So these two guys need to go because the coach can't control them. The coach should have already left. But my gift to the New York Knicks would be to chuck these bums out. That's what I would do with them, Zeb. Chuck them out. Get rid of them. Blow this bunch up. Trade Tyson Chandler for a couple of picks. Trade Amari Stoudemire for a bag of donuts. Trade Bargnani to the freaking back to Italy because he ain't no damn NBA player. He's too soft and stupid. I mean, how in the world do you, honestly, how in the world do you get a ball kicked back to you with a fresh clock with 20 seconds to go and you shoot a three when you're winning by two? Only someone with a zero basketball IQ would do that. Unbelievable, and it's Christmas Day, but when the Knicks come up, I lose it. Anyway, we got to take a break. When we return, we're going to actually preview this game, if you want to call it that, and we're going to get into some other interesting games, real interesting games. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Do you know your fantasy sports? Would you like to make money at it? DraftStreet.com and The Phil Nason Show would like to help you get started making money playing fantasy sports today. And we'll even give you the chance to get started making money today for free. On me. That's right. All you have to do is head on over to PhilNasons.com or visit the show notes for this show. Click the Draft Street image at the top of the page and start making money playing fantasy sports at DraftStreet.com today.
Talk Superstation. Season's greetings.
This is Phil Nasons of The Phil Nason Show. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from the Superstation of Talk, TalkSuperstation.com.
Happy Holidays from TalkSuperstation.com.
Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine, as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com.
If you like baseball, you should be checking out baseballpodcasts.net. It's one of the best places you can go on the internet to listen to independent baseball talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our radio player that can be heard around the world. So won't you tune in and give us a listen at baseballpodcast.net. You can also listen to the great Phil Nason show here. See you there at baseballpodcast.net.
Riveting talk radio.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now.
I think it probably comes from porn as well. You know what I mean? That's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Dog radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
Cosmic Music, 24/7 on CosmicRadio.com.
CosmicRadio.com.
Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nasons Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends, and in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show, and joining me once again, he didn't hang up, believe it or not, Zeb Benbrook is here from WelcomeToLoudCity.com. Now, this is a Thunder-Knicks game. It's in the Garden. Now, under normal situations and circumstances, I would say the Knicks would probably win because they used to do, or at least last season, very well at home. But it's on ABC. It's at 2:30 Eastern. On a Sunday, the Knicks don't usually win on Sundays, 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, whenever. They don't do good in the afternoons for some reason. What do you like about this game?
Well, what I like about this game is that Carmelo Anthony gets another chance to go against Kevin Durant. He was out for one of the matchups last season, And early on in their careers, they looked like they were going to be really good rivals when Carmelo Anthony was on the Nuggets, because they were just scoring back and forth, going back and forth against each other late in games, and it's looking like it was going to be really exciting. But then Carmelo Anthony had to go flee the Eastern Conference, and we didn't get to see a lot of that. So I'm glad we're going to get to see that today. But an interesting fact about this is last year, the Thunder didn't beat the Knicks when they were at full strength. They only beat the Knicks when Carmelo Anthony was out. So I'm thinking that this is going to be a really good game, because last spring, the Knicks dropped 125 points on the Thunder. And that was the Thunder's worst mark in 3 years, which is basically the entire span of time that they've been really good. So that's something to consider. And what the Knicks did is they took advantage of mismatches at the power forward. They made Ibaka come out, defend the perimeter. That opened up the lane for a lot of things. That let them shoot a whole lot of open threes. The number one thing they did is they did a great job of passing to the weak side and pushing the pace, which are the two best ways to beat the Thunder, in my opinion. Because if you can play with them at a fast pace and you can do a really great job moving the ball, getting it to the other side of the floor, then you're going to take advantage of the Thunder's key weaknesses. And on the Knicks side, a lot of people are calling for Mike Woodson's firing, like you said, because he has basically no control over Carmelo Anthony or any of the Knicks starters, while he's being really hard on their younger players. And they're trying tons of different lineups that aren't working. Iman Shumpert has regressed. Andrea Bargnani, we've said, isn't very good. They're kind of in disarray right now. But I think that this game is going to be really close just because of the advantages that the Knicks naturally have. But the bottom line is that the Thunder can't win by protecting the rim tonight. They're going to need to protect the perimeter. They're going to need to stay home on their shooters. And they're going to need to force turnovers, because they weren't able to force turnovers against Toronto. That's why they lost last Sunday. So I think that as long as they stick to a solid game plan like that, the Thunder are going to be able to pull this one out. But the Knicks have a lot of advantages, so it definitely could swing the other way if the Thunder are in kind of a hole, if the Thunder get themselves in kind of a hole. But in any case, I'm predicting a Thunder victory.
Well, I'm predicting a Thunder blowout, because you haven't seen the Knicks. I watch every one of their games.
It's true.
That's what they did last season against the Thunder, swinging the ball around to the weak side. They don't do that anymore. They get two passes if they're lucky. They did make one good rotation against Milwaukee, and then they never did it again. And the game on Sunday, the same thing. I mean, it is awful. It's J.R. Smith shoot, Carmelo shoot. JR shoot, Carmelo shoot. Bargnani sometimes shoots too. He shoots crazy shots with the clock at 22 seconds in a 2-point lead, and he has the ball. I don't understand that. These guys, the Knicks, have a basketball IQ of a housefly, and they're really bad. The coach is awful. Hopefully, Mike Woodson gets fired on Christmas Day, but I'm predicting a Thunder blowout. Ugh, I just get so irritated with the Knicks, dude. Go ahead.
No, I just would be too. I mean, I don't really have anything to say about it. We all know that they've been a mess for years.
Well, of course I know that. You know, the thing is last year I predicted they'd win 55. They won 54. This year I thought they'd be the number 4 seed. They weren't. But we got to move on, because there are other teams to talk about and give Christmas gifts to. The Miami Heat travels to the Lakers. They are not happy to play the Lakers in L.A. They don't like the jerseys. They don't like the fact that they have to play an away game on Christmas. But what would you give the Miami Heat for Christmas?
Speaking of those jerseys, that is going to look really bizarre today, I just have to say. But anyway, what I give the Miami Heat for Christmas is Mike Miller. It's kind of a strange gift to give. You know, I give it back just because I think that team deserves another shot to win. As much as I hate the Heat, I think that they deserve a shot to win, because right now they basically replaced Mike Miller with Michael Beasley. Now, that's an upstep in talent, definitely. But Michael Beasley was really terrible for Phoenix last year. He's had a bunch of really terrible seasons. He's been able to get it together on this winning squad, but he's not playoff experienced. He's not kind of the same mold as these other guys is. He's kind of a wild card. I mean, Chris Anderson was always a wild card personally, but on the court, he always kind of put in a consistent performance. Beasley has been a wild card in both areas. And I think that when it comes to the playoffs, that could be a factor. I mean, because when you get down to the finals, there's so many little small things that can decide a series. And the playoff experience of Michael Beasley could be the thing that decides against the Heat's favor this year. So then again, his talent could be there. But all in all, I think if I was a Heat fan, I would rather have Mike Miller on the roster. So that's the gift I'd give them.
That's a very kind gift to give the Miami Heat. My gift is going to be kind as well. I'm going to give the Miami Heat a new fan base. Because after LeBron James leaves at the end of the season, they're going to have a new fan base. Because he's going to take all his groupies with him. Chris Bosh is going to go somewhere and take the few groupies he has left. And Dwayne Wade's just going to have what he had before. And those fans knew who Roni Cicely was. So that's not a bad thing. So a new fan base is what I'm going to give them. How do you like that? That's a good one.
Yeah, I think it's a good one.
I like it.
I mean, that
was now.
Miami. I have to say, Miami was one of the worst arenas I've been. I've been in about 6 or 7 different NBA arenas. Miami was easily the quietest. So I hear you on the fan base.
Oh, because they're just there to be seen.
Absolutely. Just like the Lakers.
Well, the Lakers, they'll get wild up there. But at the Heat, they used to get wild at the Heat games when the people showed up. Now, what would you give the Los Angeles Lakers for Christmas?
I'd give the Lakers, I mean, I kind of put DJ Augustine there as a joke. I would basically just give them a point guard because I think that Mike D'Antoni's kind of installed his system. This is the first year where he's really been able to have personnel that he's picked to run the system that he likes to run, just kind of that Eurobasket style of, you know, tactical basketball. And I think that it would work a lot better if they could just have a decent point guard playing together to tie this team together. Now, when he had Steve Nash in his prime, Steve Nash was basically able to take really bad teams, or I mean, not really bad teams, but bad teams, especially late in his career, to a decent record. And I think that I think that if you had a good point guard there, with the success that some of the Lakers, of these like free agents that signed with the Lakers had, they would actually be able to be kind of a decent lower seeded playoff team. So, and then if you bring in Kobe, you know, you catch lightning in a bottle, he's really good. Then all of a sudden the Lakers could start making some noise in the playoffs. And that's what every Laker fan wants. They want to win every year. They don't want to go back and rebuild. So if I was going to give them a Christmas present, just be a really solid point guard. And I think that that would start a lot of positive things for them. If they had picked up DJ Augustine like the Bulls had done, you never know. We could be talking about a pretty good Lakers team right now.
That's a very nice gift. I have a gift for the Los Angeles Lakers too. And I'm not a Laker hater like a lot of people from the West, you know, Western Conference. They are what they are. But here's what I'm going to give the Los Angeles Lakers. Name tags. So when the fellas go through the walkthrough, they don't have to say their names and shake hands. They can just read each other's names because this is a whole new team. Paul Gasol, he doesn't even know who these guys are half the time. Kobe in 6 games, out 6 more weeks. Jody Meeks. Yowza. Who are these people? Nick Young, who are these people? I mean, this is not a Laker team. Steve Blake was playing tenacious and ferocious. And now he's out. Jordan Hill's starting to kind of play like a Laker, but this isn't the Lakers. Jordan Farmar's back. But these guys all have to kind of go through the thing and introduce each other. Who's Ryan Kelly? Who's Elias Harris? Who's Kendall Marshall? This is a freaking D-League team. This is what Mike D'Antoni stuck with. This is why Paul Gasol gets angry. Because he said, what happened to my team? What happened to my Kobe? So I would give them all name tags so at least they can avoid, you know, at least get the ball rolling in the form of communication and knowing who's who. Because when you see them play, you ever notice they pass the ball to the other team a little too often because they don't know who's on their team. Now, this game should be interesting because LeBron says there's no such thing as a rivalry in the NBA any longer because they don't see each other very often. But everyone wants to beat the Lakers, especially in L.A., especially with Jack Nicholson sitting there in the stands. And the one thing about the Lakers, Zeb, is on Christmas Day, they show up and shine. I think the Lakers are going to pull off an upset on LeBron and the boys because LeBron and them, they're not happy. They're going to be wearing their pajamas. Can you imagine what Chris Anderson's going to look like in those pajamas? He's going to look like he got stuck outside the meth house. Oh, my.
Really brutally.
Go ahead. Yeah. What do you think about this game?
Oh, man. Yeah, no, those, I mean, it's, I mean, I think it is kind of funny, but I mean, coming from a team that wore, that designed their own Masters, like, you know, the golf tournament jackets for their championship season last season, I don't think that they have a lot of room to argue. Anyway, the Lakers won't have Kobe or Nash tonight, obviously. The Heat won't, the Heat have nobody out except Odin. And when the Lakers had Meta World, but I mean, the key stat here is when the Lakers had Meta World Peace to defend against LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, both of them absolutely creamed the Lakers. They performed well above their averages, and the Lakers just simply don't have a defender that can stop either of those guys. The Lakers are kind of best against grinding defensive teams like Memphis, who they beat, Charlotte, who they beat, but they just always get outscored by high-octane teams because they play the style of ball that the high-octane team wants them to play, and they don't have the talent to win. So if the Lakers are going to win tonight, they're going to have to protect the ball and keep away from the Heat's trapping. But I just don't think that's going to happen. I think the Heat are going to win in a blowout.
I like the Lakers in this one only because they have a history of, you know, surprising me on Christmas Day. And I'll tell you what, Jordan Hill, I kind of like this kid a little bit. I think he can stick with him down low, and that's what they're going to need. But he's going to have to carry this basketball team. Farmar's back. I believe he'll be back on Christmas Day. That's going to help. Wesley Johnson. Again, who's Wesley Johnson? But we can't worry about Wesley. Hopefully Nick Young gets off. I'm going, you know what? I'm just going to go with the old gut feeling. I think the Lakers are going to pull one off at home, dude.
Yeah, the gut feeling always works. It always starts.
Hey, you like that gut feeling when I pick Utah 2 weeks in a row and they win, right?
Absolutely.
That was kind of rough. I mean, my gut feelings usually come out right. I would have won $1,000 in fantasy daily yesterday if I'd have went with my gut feeling. I picked Kevin Love over Kevin Durant, and I should have kept – and then I changed my mind at the last minute and put Durant in there. Love had like 60 points, fantasy points. I lost. I was sitting here recording my show watching this whole thing go down, and I was like ready to freaking cry for $2, Zeb. Anyway, the Houston Rockets and the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs are hosting a Christmas Day home game. What would you give the San Antonio Spurs for Christmas?
This is kind of something we were talking about earlier, but I give them national TV appearances. I mean, they are on national TV tonight, but it seems that every time they're playing against the Thunder, two of the best teams in the Western Conference, two teams who squared off in the Western Conference Finals last season, they just have not been able to get on TV just because they're in a small market. This has been a problem for years and years, despite how good they are. And early on, it was kind of justifiable because the Spurs were a defensive first team. They weren't that exciting to watch. They didn't have a whole lot of superstars. But now you've got one of the most entertaining point guards in the league in Tony Parker. Ginobili is always fun to watch. They run with the other team. They go really fast. Why would you not want to see this deal on national TV? Why aren't they popular? They don't have personality. I mean, if you see some of the local ads that this team does, you know that they have personality. So I really think that they should be on national TV more, and people should start paying more attention to them. But, other than that, they're a really great team who always wins, so that's basically the best you can give them.
You said the same thing I said on yesterday's show, dude. Respect. And same for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Why aren't these two teams on Saturday night playing each other on national TV? Let people see these small market teams can actually get down and are usually better than the big market teams anymore. So I said respect. Now, Houston, I gave them a present earlier this week as well. What would you give Houston?
I would give them a stable roster. I mean, I know that everybody loves their GM, Daryl Morey, and how he's kind of using that that money ball mentality. But right now, you've got a team that's winning a whole bunch, and everybody not named James Harden and Dwight Howard is in trade talks, and I think that's ridiculous. I mean, I think that he should have shipped off a Sikh, tried to get someone there as early as possible, and kind of developed a team that said, here, this is our team for this year. This is what we're going to win with. Everybody's going to develop familiarity with each other. And instead, he's holding out for supposed value of players, and I think that players are more than statistics and dollars and cents and whatever you want to think about it. And I think that it's going to backfire for him a little bit because, you know, I think that at some point he's going to make a move that's going to destabilize that team and they're not going to be very good. And it's just going to happen because of how personalities develop and stuff. So I'm not saying throw all that away. And I think that he has done a great job so far. I'm just saying that he needs to pay more attention to his players as people. And I think that he needs to kind of set a stable roster and say, okay, you're part of the future of our team. You're part of the future of our team. You're working to get a roster spot. Just kind of define these things for these guys. And I think that would go a long way to making Houston a successful team.
I gave Houston a present, like I said yesterday, and it was regarding Dwight Howard. Now, you bring up this Ashik kid, and let me speculate here for a minute if I can. Well, I'm going to anyway, I suppose, why I even asked for permission. But maybe they're keeping Ashik because they don't know for sure if Dwight Howard's going to lose it. He's their insurance policy. They have him under contract. Dwight Howard's a nut job. Everyone knows this. I mean, they took a great risk signing that guy. And why would he go somewhere to make less money? Because he's a nut job. And you have to remember that. He's just strange. I mean, how do you not know that you shouldn't eat 24 candy bars or the equivalent of that much sugar in a day? I mean, really, how do you not know that? This thing's, you know, I tell the little kids here, I say, you know what common sense is? And they don't really know because they're learning English, right? And I'm trying to help them with their English.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to them, common sense is when you stand out in the street and a bus is coming, you get out of the way without even having to think about it. It's just something that's ingrained in you. This is the kind of thing that Dwight Howard just does not have. He wants to leave Orlando. He wants to go play for Brooklyn. So what does he do? He takes his extension. He picks up the last year of his contract. He takes the player option. This is who this is. And this is why I think that perhaps – and Kevin McHale knows flakes too, believe it or not. He understands there are flakes in the NBA that can still play. But are you going to risk your job for a flake? No way. And they've got Omar Ashik in the background waiting just for whatever, just in case this whole – chemistry experiment known as the Rockets and the Beard and the Weird didn't pay off. If it pays off, then Ashik can go. But if it doesn't, they have to get rid of somebody, and you're not going to get rid of James Harden. Okay, he doesn't play a lick of defense. He's a good scorer. He might miss a month with a bad ankle. You never know. But that's my theory with these guys. Okay, so what do you like in this game? Because I think I really like San Antonio here. They lost to Houston the last time they played, but this is a home game, and I think they'll show out on national TV. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think it's kind of weird how the NBA already scheduled this game earlier in the season. I think that they need to kind of keep the exclusivity of the Christmas Day games, kind of kind of make people wait to see two teams match up for the first time on Christmas Day, even if it's a little bit difficult in scheduling, because that's part of the allure, you know? I think they're kind of cheapening it by doing that, but... Anyway, for this game, it's kind of questionable as to whether Jeremy Lin or James Harden are going to play. Harden said he's going to rest his ankle. Lin said he needs rest. So it's kind of hard to say who's going to play, but I'm going to assume that they're both going to play for the purpose of this. San Antonio was 3-1 against Houston last season, and so they definitely have an advantage there, but the Rockets won earlier this season. And this game will basically be a tale of two lineups. The Rockets starters are more star-powered, so they do better. But when you get to the bench, the Spurs bench always carries their team. But really, the Spurs let the Rockets play at a fast pace, and that's always dangerous because when you let the Rockets do what they want to do, they're capable of scoring as many points as they want to. But the key for the Spurs is Tony Parker, who absolutely destroyed Patrick Beverley in the last matchup. He'll probably do the same thing again today. So I think I'm going to go with them just because I think that you're not going to get bad performances out of guys like Tim Duncan forever. And I think that they're going to be able to put it together tonight, especially after a key loss to Oklahoma City. So I'm going with them.
Okay, you know what? One thing I want to give you some caution with Houston is they're playing five games this week. Five games. They've already said that they're going to be nights where they're going to sit these guys out. Now, Lin says he's healthy and he's playing on Monday, but he's not going to play all five games. They may sit a couple games out, and it might be that one. You know, it just might. Anyway, I'm going with the Spurs. We've got one game left. We've got about 4 minutes, Seb. The Los Angeles Clippers and Golden State Warriors. What would you give the Clippers for Christmas? And then give me a prediction for the game.
Okay, I'll give you what I give both of them. For the Clippers, I give them a backup center really quick, just obvious. They really need it. Golden State, I give them a time machine so they can go back to last summer, reconsider the Iguodala trade, and try to find a better way of getting him than getting rid of Carl Landry and Derek Jack, because I think those two guys were essential to their success last season, and that's part of why they're not doing so well right now. Anyway, this game, the Clippers played the Warriors on October 31st. The Clippers won, but the Warriors were on a back-to-back. It was a really exciting game. The Warriors were really turnover-prone in that game. They gave up the rebounding battle, and it was unusual for them because rebounding is their forte, so you got to believe they're going to be able to bounce back. But the key in that game was Chris Paul destroyed Stephen Curry offensively. I mean, both of them were really good offensively. Griffin outscored Lee, and they were just kind of showed themselves to be better, and neither guy could stop the other guy. The Warriors might want to consider putting Thompson on Chris Paul. They did that against Russell Westbrook, but Chris Paul might be too small to do that against. I don't know. The Warriors are having concerns about their coach right now because their offense isn't as good as it was without Mike Malone, who went to the Kings over the offseason. Meanwhile, the Clippers are in an absolute roll. So I think that I've got to go with the Clippers just because of all the turmoil the Warriors have gone over in the past few weeks. I just don't see the Warriors stopping their offensive attack anytime soon. So I'm going to go with the Clippers.
Good job. I'll fill in the little blanks in a minute here. For the Clippers, my Christmas present to them, Charles Barkley is their coach. You know, he's gone on public record as saying he believes that they are soft as tissue paper. I've been saying that longer than he has. I agree with him. Maybe if he goes in there and becomes that cardboard inside the toilet paper roll for those boys, they might play hard inside. They might. Every night. I don't think they will. For Golden State, you alluded to it. I would get them a backup point guard. God bless Steph Curry, but when he's out, they have big problems. Jarrett Jack was a Sixth Man of the Year candidate last season. J.R. Smith edged him out in the voting, but he was a vital part of that basketball team. He was averaging almost, 20 points a game, if memory serves. He played fantastic. That losing Carl Landry, that was just stupid. You know what? Iguodala, they could have done something different. Or just not even ask for it, or just let it go.
Or just gotten rid of David Lee, who everybody...
Or there you go. David Lee would have been my option, too. But they didn't seem to want to. They figured it this way. They wanted to keep David Lee. And while on the surface that's not a bad idea, at the end of the day, if you don't have a point guard, you're in big freaking trouble. And Jarrett Jack is the backup point guard for Kyrie Irving right now. So it is what it is. He's in Cleveland, I still think. He might have gotten traded for all we know. But anyway, this was great stuff today. I'm going to take the Golden State Warriors in this one. I just think the Bombs Away boys are going to get him. So based on everything that you said. Anyway, Zeb, great stuff today. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me on, as always. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, my brother. Merry Christmas. That was Zeb Benbrook. You can find him at welcometoloudcity.com. And that's going to wrap it up for today's Phil Nason Show. I want to thank Zeb for taking the time out of his very busy Christmas season to come here and help me preview these 5 basketball games. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the best and the worst offseason moves in Major League Baseball in both the American and National League. And we're going to give the New York Mets and the Oakland A's a Christmas present or two. Until then, you all take care of yourselves, be good, and most importantly, thanks for listening. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.